thanks once again for joining us here on Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. He is entering his 10th year at the helm of Toledo Public Schools. And since his first day on the job, he has made it no secret that it's been his mission to make the identity and the branding of this district something to which it wasn't in the past. Now, depending on your measuring stick, you could say there have been tremendous successes as well as continuing challenges. One of those challenges is in the week ahead, getting the support of voters here in Toledo to agree with that mission and support a levy renewal campaign. I want to welcome in Dr. Romulus Durant, superintendent of Toledo Public Schools, joining us once again. Good to see you.
Hi, I appreciate you having me on.
A busy, busy night. I have booked enough time to have you here for the majority of the show. A lot to talk about, but I do want to start just right out of the gate talking about this levy. It's two renewals that are on the ballot, and I want to give people a look at home, if they haven't looked at the ballot yet, what we're talking about. Yep. So, first, Romulus, we're looking at Issue 9. Proposed tax levy renewal once again. Current expenses is what this one is geared toward, 6.5 mils. Let's break down the money of this one for you a little bit. $169 for each $100,000 of appraised value, and it'll go for 5 years and will be first due in 2024. Issue 10 for Toledo Public Schools. Once again, a renewal, not new money here. This one geared toward operating expenses and general permanent improvements. 5.8 mils, and when you break that down to dollars and cents, it would be about $167 added, or continual, excuse me, for $100,000 appraised value. That one first due in 2025. Let's talk about how we got here and the need for these dollars, especially in today's climate.
Yes, so again, these are levies that have, one, been approved in the past. And so it's definitely not new money. It's to provide in regard to current expenses and operations of the current status of the district today. So when you look at all the programs and all the schools that we have added, we have done that without new money. We haven't had new money since 2013. And if you recall, I was recorded as saying and telling the public, if you pass us new dollars in 2013, we will not ask for new dollars for 10 years. We're going on 11 years and we still haven't asked for new money.
How is that possible?
You know what? One of the things that we have done is treat it like a business model, I think. And then, you know, when people say that, hey, you're a superintendent, but you have to be CEO in minded in regard to your business and expenses and entrepreneurial when you talk about opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so with the CEO options of that is really scaling the district in a way that you create opportunity that is an attraction to many individuals to help grow our enrollment, as well as individuals outside of the Toledo region are now taking advantage of magnet school opportunities that bring revenue within to the district. We're able to scale that revenue as a plus that allows us to, one, go into negotiations and provide more salary for our staff, but two, provide more existing opportunities for the city of Toledo, yeah, as well as Northwest Ohio.
So many school districts around the region, Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan, they all deal with these formulas that whether the state of Michigan's put together or the state of Ohio is putting together. Nobody seems happy about it as far as the school funding formula is concerned. But if you're still lopped into that group of school districts that are hurting because of what you're receiving as far as per pupil funding, How are you making it work?
Well, you know, the biggest...
Are you making it work?
Yeah, we're making it work. The biggest issue is inflation. So at the average cost of operation continue to go up, our dollar amount based on the millage stayed the same. Mm-hmm. It's flatlined. And so we had to be creative of creating opportunities that, one, grew the enrollment, which ultimately grew revenue that allowed us to stay ahead of inflation within that time. And so obviously with the inflation we've had in the last several years have really caught up. But the main thing is really taking existing dollars and making best use of it, but at the same time providing a lot of opportunity for kids in the city of Toledo as well as Northwest Ohio.
Talk a little bit about, and I think over the years, the last 10 years, I've heard you use this phrase before, but thinking outside the box, mm-hmm, and making this maybe what was done in the past be in the past, right? And looking to the future and how we get this done.
You know what, the main thing is really in essence, I do a presentation called A State of Innovation of a New Way of Public Education, is that the days of creating neighborhood schools when ultimately we're preparing kids for industry doesn't necessarily make sense when you could take schools and put them at industry. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about our Aerospace Natural Science Academy, Where do you think the aerospace school is at? It's at the airport, which is the best opportunity for learning. These kids listen to planes come in and out on a daily basis. At the same time, the 180th is right there on campus. The airport is on campus. So they are exposed to all variations of industry. So who do you think get the primary internship? They do. Employment, they do. Our natural science. We have the number one metro park system in the country. So it makes sense to create a high school. So where do you think is that? Is that the metro park? Botanical Garden. That new high school sits literally right in the heart of it all, exposing kids to industry standards, exposes them to the employees of industry that give them a great opportunity of internship and employability within this region. One of the things that we've done best is we created new schools that align to employment opportunities in this region. There wouldn't be an aerospace if we didn't have an airport or Detroit right up the road. There wouldn't be a natural science if we didn't have the Metro Park system that exists here today. And you could go on to medical and all the other programs that we have created that align to industry to educate you here, work here, live here, create economic status here in the district.
I want to read you something specific that I got from a local mayor, and he put it out there because I asked a question specific to the responsibility of school leaders, how they reach out to the business community, how they reach out to industry to make these school districts work, and if it's reciprocal. And this mayor said, if those superintendents aren't meeting with the mayors of their respective school districts, and then they aren't doing their job and vice versa. You can't have a great city without a great school district, and you can't have a great school without a great city. They go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I shared this with some of our outlying community superintendents last week. I want to get your read on that.
You know what? I think the main thing is one, you got to be in touch with all facets of the community. One, your grassroots community, meaning your community had to see you in the inner city, the outliner cities. At the same time, you know, you have the business community, but this city is called Holy Toledo. Mm-hmm. So you need to have a relationship with the churches. Mm-hmm. So when people see that I'm at the churches on Sunday speaking about opportunity within the district, that I make it our mission to continue to build those relationships. And the business industry in regard to really taking a look with the Chamber of Commerce, what are our highest employment opportunities here? Align opportunity such as schooling of choice as well as programs. So one example is that we're in a logistic hub of the world in the country. It makes sense to have a CDL program that kids can graduate high school with a CDL and immediately find employment within a logistic hub of Toledo. And so
in your view, and I want to talk more about the magnet schools when we come back from break, yep. But in your view, how important is college?
So
to the TPS district?
Well, college in regard to TPS or just in general, I think in essence we call it college and career ready. What we do is we build careers and we put encompasses colleges into it. So these kids are taking College Credit Plus, and some are just actual students at the University of Toledo. That is built upon the career base that they're going down. So we create certification and college credit at no cost to parents at the end of the day, because we want them to pursue and progress towards a degree
or a
certification.
But this is a both and formula, not an either or.
Well, it's a both and you can do both. So right. Many of our kids are going to go to the engineering school, and some will choose to go right out into industry. But at the end of the day, college is only an end-all mind when you have an outcome and a purpose, meaning getting a degree to go out and do something that has nothing to do with degree, you could have done that in other facets of opportunity. You know, like I tell people, don't dismiss the trades. An apprenticeship is college. That is post-secondary education. They're doing mathematics. They're doing reading. They're doing all the things that you would be sitting in a college classroom right there at the apprenticeship lab. So we make sure that kids are exposed to all those. And at the same time, they can't forget the armed forces. At the end of the day, if there's a mean to provide opportunity of education without debt, you have a great opportunity in our armed forces that exists right here in the city of Toledo.
Stay right there. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Romulus Durant as we look to those magnet school opportunities that have been created and what that means for the old guard, as I'll call it, some of the high schools that have been around for a long, long time. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Talking with Toledo Public School Superintendent Dr. Romulus Durant here on Leading Edge today. Romulus, you kind of put the ball on the tee when we were in that first segment talking, leading into the conversation about the magnet school opportunities that have been created by TPS here in this region. What I wanted to know from you is, you've got all these innovative opportunities. You talked about aeronautical, health science, construction trade, that kind of thing. But What about the old guard is, and that's what I'll call it, when we're talking about weight, start, Rogers, Woodward, Bowser, Scott. What about those schools, those opportunities for those students?
So within our TPS district, we call them the Big Six, which are the traditional high schools that are in the neighborhood high schools. We have 37 career tech programs built in all the schools. So at the end of the day, if you're talking about Wade High School, which I'm a graduate of Wade, class of 94, go Indian. what we have is that we have our Construction Trade Academy there. There's an IT program as well as entrepreneurship right at Wade High School. If I go to Scott, I could do med tech. I could do the barberology program. I could do cosmetology program as well as advanced manufacturing. If I go to Start, advanced manufacturing, CAD design engineering, home remodeling, auto tech program. If I go to Rogers, I can ultimately do the construction program that they have over there, along with the visual design communication program they have there as well. But what you see is that each of these community schools all have career tech programs. What a child can do is that either a child can go to an engineering school at the Tweedle Technology Academy of Engineering, or they can go to Start or Bowser and get a comprehensive community feel, play athletics, and at the same time, go into engineering and get college credit as well as industry certification at those schools just as well.
There's a shiny new nickel kind of approach to, or I guess feeling with some of these magnet school opportunities, right? Yeah. But you said there is a challenge. This is another option for everybody. It's competitive.
Very competitive.
It's challenging.
You know, very competitive. And one of the things is that how are we staying competitive as public entity schools, particularly competing with private, charter, as well as knowing that we're at universal voucher programs. At the end of the day, we have created highlight schools that what I call are public schools with private privileges. What that means is mom, dad, your kid is going to compete to get in, compete to stay in, and mom and dad, you have accountability just as well. And that's the irony, the idea of these schools, but it's a specific focus. Everyone at that engineering school is focused on engineering. Your friends are all in engineering. Your teachers are all about engineering. If you're at the medical school, everyone at that school is about medical. And what we've done is created pods and cohorts of kids who come to an entity to learn, and everyone is sharing the same ideology about what they want to do within these spaces that gives a complete focus on industry standard as well as college credit that follows with it.
When you look at KPIs as far as these schools are concerned, how soon do you expect to see the results in what you've created, how it's working?
These schools are all five-star schools, every one of them. They compete with the same percentages you'll see at Ottawa Hills, which is considered the top within the state. What we do is we take their scores and compare that and say, hey, what are Ottawa Hills scores? Let's see how these scores align. And they're right there with them. Mm-hmm. And so if you'll see that we've been ranked highly in USA Today News in regards to being one of the top academies within the state of Ohio. They are number one and two magnet schools in the district or in the state of Ohio, as well as our other magnets will now get reviewed because one, we had to get an IRN for the aerospace natural science, and two, the pre-med had just added more grades to it that allow us to get the same evaluations as well. But these magnet schools are knocking it out the park.
Let me ask you real quick. I want to go back to something we touched on in the first segment, and that is talking about staffing. You brought up teachers, and you talked about contracts, mm-hmm. and it made me think about what we've just been through with the UAW negotiation with the Big Three, and we've talked to labor analysts, Romulus, who have said to us that this changes the dynamic for negotiation, how this works, what people are going to go and fight for. What does that do to you guys looking upon the possibility of the TFT having another negotiation coming up? Does this change the game?
Well, I mean, understand that we have not only TFT, we have to tap for our administrative union along with AFME, which is our skilled trade union. And, you know, what it does is at the end of the day, we have built a relationship along the way over the years. So when I talk about the three negotiations that we have finished that historically ourselves and the union have never went in negotiation without a fact finder. We have done that and set precedent for the last 3 years of not needing fact finder, meaning there's trust at the table about one, we're here to support you just as much as you have supported the district. And so we continue to do that. And what I can say in our positions within the district, and many of them are paid at the highest and historically this position have ever held. And so that's one, making sure that you're investing not only in your capital structure, which is the building that you're seeing, the EV center that's coming up, but you're also investing in your human capital as well, in our support employees who are really in the trenches trenches and making things happen on a day-to-day basis.
But let me play devil's advocate and ask this.
Yeah.
Are there conversations happening? Are you ready for there to be a new ask, a new request?
Well, understand, when we get into negotiation, there's strategies. What that means is we just didn't wake up tomorrow and say, hey, negotiations here, let's do it. We've been working on negotiations since the last negotiation. And that's how you go about doing it, meaning that what is our goal for the next negotiation? What would we like to get done for next negotiation? And through that process, we've already set the platform and the table in regard to what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, what is the goal between ourselves and the unions, where do they want to be at, where do we see them at? And at the end of the day, we come to the median of the minds and make things happen.
Can TPS as a district afford to up the game as far as contracts are concerned?
Based on current, what we do is we take a look at our numbers in regard to understanding financially where we're at. And so at the end of the day, what they have is that they have financial people who come in and screen through your numbers just as much as we do. And then we have a conversation about, at the end of the day, what was the goal? And so some of the things we do is take a look at other contracts of other school districts. And when we set that goal, we have created markers in regard to getting there within it. So our district, when you look at our teacher salaries, what we've done is identified a school district and said, we want our teachers to eventually make the same salary. We have gotten there. And so then we set another goal and we continue with that as well.
Finally, before we go to our last segment, I wanted to ask you about literacy rates. And it's something that you've been out in front of. You've heard the news, you've seen the scores, and you haven't shied away from commenting about it. Still a concern for you?
Well, it's always a concern because literacy within this country in regards to one.
Specifically TPS.
Well, TPS, when you talk about just generally, if you look at our KRA scores across Northwest Ohio, they're not very good. So when you think of, in essence, of kids coming into kindergarten who are not academically ready, that sets the platform and the stage in regard to how they go through school. So like I tell people at the end of the day, from birth up into kindergarten, the age of five, you know, you're talking about kids are learning to read. By the time they get to third to 12th grade, they're reading for learning. If reading is slowed, then their learning is slowed down the road. I tell people, you read your way into college, you write your way out of college. And that whole ideology of understanding reading is indicative of school success, as well as many kinds of life success.
We're already through the first quarter. What was implemented this year to change that?
Yep, what we've done in regard to really focus, highlight in our iReady. iReady is our diagnostic tool that we focus on, and it creates an intervention model within that that kids continue to work on. And what we do is continue to measure that in regard to how we compare to last year and previous years, as well as set the goal mark for each individual. The main thing is making sure to get kids off of intervention, make sure that they're getting the pathway to ultimately continue to be successful within their own reading execution.
We were both products of the City League athletics growing up, and I want to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. All right, welcome back for a final time, spending the entirety of this show with Dr. Romulus Durant. And I saved something special for the very end because, as I said, growing up in the 80s and 90s, as we did in the Toledo area, and the City League was something that was so special, not only for Northwest Ohio, but for the state of Ohio, as far as what it was. And you and I, just in the commercial break, we were running down all the individual schools that were members of the City League when it was huge. But we're now down to the Big Six, as you called it, and Lima Senior, as you said. But I just wanted to get your take, having been a product of the City League, the importance of athletics, the importance of what the City League is today.
You know what, athletics and, you know, just extracurricular period, whether it's band, orchestra, all those things have a fundamental aspect of helping in your development from social as well as leadership. I predicate my leadership heavily on things that I've learned athletically. You know, living in the household of a coach, with my dad was a football coach for many years, going to University of Toledo under Coach Pinkel, understanding the dynamics of my mission and vision and core values that exist within the team. These things have really created leadership strategies that I've inherited and brought into my own coming into an adult. And these are the same things that kids develop when they're engaging in these type of opportunities. One, the social development, a social IQ, but two, understanding how to relate to individuals of various backgrounds. And so, you know, the ability to continue to have those things really brings about a lot of positivity in student outcome. One of the challenges that we had is that, remember, we were on a cut in athletics based on budget cuts back in the early 2000s that we did away with wrestling program, cut to different programs, busing and all the other things. We had $100 million that the district had cut. athletics is one of them. So we have done a great job in really building them up, having state-of-the-art facilities, as well as getting back into restoring what we once had. Yeah. But we continue to build upon that every day.
We got about 90 seconds left, but as we talk about the City League in itself, does it scare you? Does it give you pause seeing, I mean, you had a handful of schools go to a Detroit league, for gosh sakes?
Well, you know, I think the main thing is really I see that a lot of the public leagues are having conversations about coming together. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw in regard to just regionally, we had public schools join a whole different conference, as well as private schools going
right,
up
the
north.
NLL just blew up, right?
That's exactly it. And so those type of conversations are happening throughout the state. So, you know, it's not Lima Senior's coming here now, and, you know, Lima Senior's part of the City League, and they're driving, you know, 45 minutes up to this way, and what you're going to find is you're going to find cross-state opportunities where public schools are coming together and at the same time wanting to be within the same range of athletic development, meaning that you're not playing teams week after week who are just a powerhouse, and you're still rebuilding.
10 years in, you still got that to-do list of what you wanted to accomplish year one?
You know what? I tell people all the time, I had put off having kids because at the end of the day, I never want to not do enough in regard to my own children when I deal with everyone else's children. Mm-hmm. And so the main thing is that every one of us as adults, when we have children, we want to have better opportunities than we had. A mom and dad looks and says, the opportunities you have are far more than I had. And so when I come into this district, my whole mindset is providing opportunities that I did not have, whether it's school choices, whether it's career opportunities, whether it's being to have an ability to get college credit at no cost. I mean, I scoured every Christmas break getting scholarship after scholarship in order to pay for all three degrees. It took me hours and giving up Christmas Ron, break to do it.
I got to cut you off, but I appreciate it. I know you can go on and on and on. I know, I got you fired up and emotional. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.